The name of the game. In 1974, my rich dad was upset because the game was played against me and I did not know it. I had bought this investment and had taken a losing position, yet I had been led to believe it was a winning position. Rich Dad then explained the basics of the game. The name of the game of capitalism is who is indebted to whom. Once I knew the game, he said, then I could be a better player, instead of someone who just had the game run all over him. The more people you are indebted to, the poorer you are, said Rich Dad. And the more people you have indebted to you, the wealthier you are. That is the game. We are all in debt to someone else. The problems occur when the debt gets out of balance. If you are going to play the game, then you had best learn the game, know the rules, speak the same language, and know with whom you're playing. Rich Dad drew the cash flow quadrant. He asked, if you're going to play the money game, which team do you want to be on? The E's, S's, B's, or I's? Or which side of the court do you want to be on? The right side or the left? I pointed to the right side of the quadrant. Good, said Rich Dad. That is why you can't go out there to play the game and believe some sales agent when he tells you that to lose $150 a month for 30 years is a good deal, because the government will give you a tax break for losing money, and he expects the price of real estate to go up. You simply cannot play the game with that mindset. While those opinions might come true, that is just not the way the game is played on the right side of the quadrant. Somebody is telling you to get into debt, take all the risks, and pay for it. People on the left side think that is a good idea, but not the people on the right. Look at it my way, said Rich Dad. You're willing to pay $56,000 for this condo in the sky. You're signing for the debt. You take the risk. The tenant pays less in rent than what it costs to live there. So you are subsidizing that person's housing. Does that make sense to you? I shook my head. No. This is the way I play the game, said Rich Dad. From now on, if you take on debt and risk, then you should get paid. Got that? I nodded my head. Making money is common sense, said Rich Dad. It's not rocket science. But, unfortunately, when it comes to money, common sense is uncommon. It was then that Rich Dad gave me an important rule that he has always used. Your profit is made when you buy, not when you sell. Rich Dad had to be certain that whatever debt or risk he took on, it had to make sense from the day he bought it. It had to make sense if the economy got worse, and it had to make sense if the economy got better. He never bought on tax tricks or crystal ball forecasts of the future. A deal had to make sound economic sense in good times and in bad. I was beginning to understand the game of money as he saw it. And the game of money was to see others become indebted to you, and to be careful to whom you became indebted. Today I still hear his words. If you take on risk and debt, make sure you get paid for it. Rich Dad had debt, but he was careful when he took it on. If you take on debt personally, make sure it's small. If you take on large debt, make sure someone else is paying for it. The importance of facts versus opinions. Rich Dad continued his lesson. If you want to be successful on the right side, when it comes to money, you've got to know the difference between facts and opinions. You cannot blindly accept financial advice the way people on the left side do. You must know the numbers. You must know the facts. And numbers tell you the facts. Your financial survival depends upon facts, not some friend or advisor's wordy opinions. Most people struggle financially because they spend their lives using opinions rather than facts when making financial decisions. Opinions such as, your house is an asset, the price of real estate always goes up, it takes money to make money, you should diversify your portfolio, you have to be dishonest to be rich, investing is risky, play it safe. The point is, most people's lives are determined by their opinions rather than the facts. For a person's life to change, they first need to change their opinions. Then start looking at the facts. If you can read financial statements, you will be able to see the facts not only of a company's financial success. If you can read financial statements, you can tell immediately how an individual is doing, rather than going by your or somebody else's opinions. One is not better than the other, but to be successful in life, especially financially, you must know the difference. If you cannot verify something is a fact, then it is an opinion. Financial blindness is when people cannot read numbers, so they must take someone else's opinion. Financial insanity is caused when opinions are used as facts. If you want to be on the right side of the quadrant, you must know the difference between facts and opinions. Few lessons are more important than this one. I sat there listening quietly, doing my best to understand what he was saying. Do you know what due diligence means? Rich Dad asked. I shook my head. Due diligence simply means finding out what are opinions and what are facts. When it comes to money, most people are either lazy or searching for shortcuts, so they do not do enough due diligence. And there are still others who are so afraid of making mistakes that all they do is due diligence and then do nothing. Too much due diligence is also called analysis paralysis. The point is, you must know how to sift through the facts and opinions, then make your decision. Most people are in financial trouble today simply because they've taken too many shortcuts and are making life's financial decisions based upon opinions. The opinions of an E, employee, or an S, self-employed, and not on the facts. If you want to be a B, business owner, or an I, investor, you must be keenly aware of the difference. Learning the game of money and how it is played is an important part of your journey to financial freedom. More important, though, is whom you need to become to move to the right side of the cash flow quadrant. We can be anything we want. Most of us have the potential to be successful in all of the quadrants. It all depends on how determined we are to be successful. As my rich dad said, passion builds businesses, not fear. The problem with changing quadrants is often in our past conditioning. Many of us came from families where the emotion of fear was used as a prime motivator to get us to think and act in a certain way. For example, how often have you heard, if you don't get good grades, you won't get a safe, secure job with benefits? Well, today many people have gotten good grades, but there are fewer safe, secure jobs and even fewer with benefits, like retirement plans. So many people, even those with good grades, need to mind their own business and not just look for a job where they will mind someone else's business. How do I get rich? When I'm asked, where did I learn my formula for getting rich? I reply, playing the game of Monopoly as a kid. Some people think I'm kidding, and others wait for the punchline, expecting a joke. Yet it is not meant as a joke, and I'm not kidding. The formula for getting rich in Monopoly is simple, and it works in real life as well as in the game. 4 greenhouses, 1 red hotel. You may recall that the secret to wealth when playing Monopoly is simply to buy 4 greenhouses and then trade them in to buy a large red hotel. That is all it takes, and that is the same investment formula for wealth my wife and I used. When the real estate market was really bad, we bought as many small houses as we could with the limited money we had. When the market improved, we traded in the 4 greenhouses and bought a large red hotel. We never have to work because the cash flow from our large red hotel, apartment houses, and mini storages pays for our lifestyle. Doing what rich people do is easy. One of the reasons there are so many wealthy people who did not do well in school is because the to-do part of becoming wealthy is simple. There is a classic book I recommend you read, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I read this book as a youngster, and it greatly influenced the direction of my life. In fact, it was my rich dad who first recommended that I read this book, and others like it. There is a good reason why it's titled Think and Grow Rich and not Work Hard and Grow Rich or Get a Job and Grow Rich. The fact is, people who work the hardest do not wind up rich. If you want to be rich, you need to think. Think independently rather than go along with the crowd. In my opinion, one great asset of the rich is that they think differently from everyone else. If you do what everyone else does, you'll wind up having what everyone else has. And for most people, what they have is years of hard work, unfair taxes, and a lifetime of debt. When someone asks me, what do I have to do to move from the left side of the quadrant to the right side? My response is, it's not what you have to do that needs to change. It's first how you think that needs to change. In other words, it's who you have to be in order to do what needs to be done. Years ago, I was in a class on goal setting. It was the mid-1970s, and I really could not believe I was spending $150 on a beautiful Saturday and Sunday to learn how to set goals. I would rather have been surfing. Instead, here I was paying someone to teach me how to set goals. I nearly backed out several times. But what I learned from that class has helped me achieve what I want in life. The instructor put up on the board these 3 words. Be, do, have. She then said, goals are the have part of these 3 words. Once most people figure out what they want to have, their goal, they begin listing what they have to do. That is why most people have to-do lists. They set their goal and then begin doing. She discussed investments, saying, many people think that buying stocks or mutual funds will make them rich. Well, simply buying stocks, mutual funds, real estate, and bonds will not make you rich. Just doing what professional investors do does not guarantee financial success. People who have a loser mentality will always lose, no matter what stock, bond, real estate, or mutual fund they buy. Next, she used an example of finding the perfect romantic partner. So many people go to bars or to work or to their church looking for the perfect person. That is what they do. What they do is go and look for the right person instead of working on being the right person. Here's one of her examples about relationships. In marriage, many people try to change the other person so they can have a better marriage. Instead of trying to change the other person, which often leads to fights, it is better to change yourself first, she said. Don't work on the other person. Work on your thoughts about the other person. As she was talking about relationships, my mind drifted to the many people I had met over the years who were out to change the world, but were not getting anywhere. They wanted to change everyone else, but not change themselves. And when it comes to money, she said, many people try to do what the rich do and to have what the rich have. So they go out and buy a house that looks rich, a car that looks rich, and send their kids to the schools where the rich send their kids. All this does is cause these people to do by working harder and to have more debt, which causes them to work even harder, which is not what the truly rich do. My rich dad did not use these same words, but he did often say to me, people think that working hard for money and then buying things that make them look rich will make them rich. In most cases, it doesn't. It only makes them more tired. They call it keeping up with the Joneses, and if you notice, the Joneses are exhausted. During that weekend class, much of what my rich dad had been telling me began to make more sense. For years, he lived modestly. Instead of working hard to pay bills, he worked hard to acquire assets. If you saw him on the street, he looked like everyone else. He drove a pickup truck, not an expensive car. Then, one day, when he was in his late 30s, he emerged as a financial powerhouse. People took notice when he suddenly bought one of the prime pieces of real estate in Hawaii. After his name hit the paper, it was then people realized that this quiet, unpretentious man owned many other businesses, lots of prime real estate, and when he spoke, his bankers listened. Few people ever saw the modest house he lived in. After he was flush with cash and cash flow from his assets, he then bought a new large house for his family. He did not take out a loan. He paid cash. After that weekend class on goal setting, I realized that many people tried doing what they thought the rich did and tried having what the rich had. They often would buy big houses and invest in the stock market because that is what they thought the rich did. Yet, what my rich dad was trying to tell me was, if they still thought and had the same beliefs and ideas of a poor person or middle-class person, then did what the rich did, they would still wind up having what the poor and middle-class have. Be, do, have began to make sense. Rich Dad's cash flow quadrant is about being, not doing. Moving from the left side of the quadrant to the right side of the quadrant is not so much about doing, but more about being. The good news is that it does not cost much money to change your thinking. In fact, it can be done for free. The bad news is that sometimes it's hard to change some deep core thoughts about money that are handed down from generation to generation, or thoughts that you learn from friends, from work, and from school. Yet, it can be done. And this is what this recording is primarily about. It's not so much a how-to book on what to do to become financially free. It's not about what stocks to buy or what mutual fund is safest. This program is primarily about strengthening your thoughts, being, so that you can take the action, doing, that will enable you to become financially free, having. For people contemplating making the crossing from one quadrant to another, an important part of the process is to be aware of your internal dialogue, or conversations within you. And always remember that what sounds logical in one quadrant does not make sense in another quadrant. The process of going from job or financial security to financial freedom is primarily a process of changing your thinking. It is a process of doing your best to know which thoughts are emotion-based and which thoughts are logic-based. If you can keep your emotions in check and go for what you know to be logical, you have a good chance of making the journey. No matter what anyone is saying to you from the outside, the most important conversation is the one you are having with yourself on the inside. That is why my rich dad forbade me from saying, I can't afford it. I can't do that. Play it safe. Don't lose money. Rich Dad firmly believed that what we said to ourselves at our core became our reality. That is why I suspect that for people who struggle financially, their emotions often do the talking and run their lives. If they are emotionally based thoughts, they are powerful. The good news is that they can be changed with the support of new friends, new ideas, and a little time. People who are not able to control their fear of losing should never invest on their own. They are best served by turning that job over to professionals and not interfering with them. As an interesting note, I have met many professional people who are fearless when investing other people's money and able to make lots of money. But when it comes to investing or risking their own money, their fear of losing becomes too strong and they ultimately lose. Their emotions do the thinking rather than their logic. I have also met people who can invest their money and win constantly, but lose their calm when other people ask them to invest money for them. The making and losing of money is an emotional subject. Rich Dad always said, to be successful as an investor or business owner, you have to be emotionally neutral to winning and losing. Winning and losing are just part of the game. The laws. Understanding the laws and market forces is vital to financial success. Great transfers of wealth often occur when laws and markets change, so it is important to pay attention if you want to have those changes work in your favor and not against you. We are entering an era of tremendous change and opportunity. For some people, it will be the best of times, and for others, it will be the worst of times. Education is more important than ever before, but we need to teach people to think a little further than just looking for a secure job and expecting the company or the government to look after them once their working days are through. That is an industrial age idea, and we aren't there anymore. The rules have changed. One advantage of living in a free society is the freedom to make choices. In my opinion, there are two big choices: the choice of security and the choice of freedom. If you choose security, there is a huge price to pay for that security in the form of excessive taxes and punishing interest payments. If you choose freedom, then you need to learn the whole game and then play the game. It is your choice from which quadrant you want to play the game. In 1943, the U.S. began taxing all working Americans via payroll deduction. In other words, the government got paid before people in the E, employee quadrant, got paid. Anyone who was purely an E had little escape from the government. It also meant that instead of only the rich being taxed, which was the hope of the 16th Amendment, it now meant everyone on the left side of the quadrant got taxed, rich or poor. But the lowest paid in America today pay more in taxes as a percentage of total income than the rich and the middle class. In 1986, the Tax Reform Act went after the highly paid professionals in the S quadrant. The act specifically listed doctors, lawyers, architects, dentists, engineers, and other such professions and made it difficult, if not impossible, for them to shelter their income the way the rich can do in the B and I quadrants. These professionals were forced to operate their businesses through S corporations instead of through C corporations or pay a tax penalty. Income for these highly compensated professionals is then passed through the S corporation and taxed at the highest individual tax rate possible. They don't have the opportunity to shelter their income through deductions allowed to a C corporation. And at the same time, the law was changed to force all S corporations to have a calendar year end. This again forced all income to be taxed at the highest rate. When I was discussing these changes recently with my personal CPA, she reminded me that the biggest shock to newly self-employed people generally comes at the end of their first year when they realize that the biggest tax they are paying is a self-employment tax. This tax is double for the S's over what they paid as E's, and it is calculated on income before the individual can deduct any itemized deductions or personal exemptions. It is possible for a self-employed person to have no taxable income yet still owe self-employment tax. Corporations, on the other hand, do not pay self-employment tax. The 1986 Tax Reform Act also effectively pushed the E's and S's of America out of real estate as an investment and into paper assets, such as stocks and mutual funds, basing their future financial well-being upon paper assets subject to the ups and downs of the market. After the 1986 Tax Reform Act, the rich continue to earn more, work less, pay less taxes, and enjoy greater asset protection by using the formula my rich dad gave me 40 years ago: build a business and buy real estate. Make a lot of money via C corporations and shelter your income through real estate. While millions upon millions of Americans work, pay more and more taxes, and then pour billions each month into mutual funds, the rich are quietly selling the shares of their C corporations, making them even richer, and then buying billions in investment real estate. As we progress further and further away from the industrial age and into the information age, we all need to continue to gather information from different quadrants. In the information age, quality information is our most important asset. As Eric Hoffer once said, in times of change, learners inherit the earth, while the learned find themselves beautifully equipped to deal with a world that no longer exists. Remember that everyone's financial situation is different. That is why I always recommend that you seek out the best professional and financial advice you can find. For example, while a C corporation may work well in some instances, it does not work well in all instances. Even on the right side of the quadrant, occasionally an S corporation is appropriate. Also, remember that there are different advisors for the rich, the poor, and the middle class. just as there are different advisors for people who earn their money on the right side and on the left. Also consider seeking advice from people who already are where you want to go. Never do business or investing for tax reasons. A tax break is an extra bonus for doing things the way the government wants. It should be a bonus, not the reason. And if you are not a U.S. citizen, this advice remains the same. Our laws may be different, yet the principles of seeking competent advice remain the same. People on the right side operate very similarly throughout the world. How to become a successful business owner and investor. Most of us have heard the saying, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. I would like to modify that statement a little. Instead, I would say, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a baby step. I emphasize this because I have seen too many people attempt to take the great leap forward instead of taking baby steps. Long-term financial success is not measured in how big your stride is. Long-term financial success is measured in the number of steps, in which direction you're moving, and in numbers of years. In reality, that is the formula for success or failure in any endeavor. When it comes to money, I have seen too many people, myself included, attempt to do too much with too little, and then crash and burn. In other words, you go from baby steps to walking and then to running. This is the path I recommend. For people who want to be successful in the information age, the faster they begin to develop their financial intelligence and emotional intelligence, the faster they will feel more financially secure and find financial freedom. Today, when people say, "Don't work hard, work smart," they do not mean work smart in the E or S quadrants. They actually mean working smart in the B or I quadrants. That is information age thinking, which is why financial intelligence and emotional intelligence are so vital today and will be vital in the future. So what is the answer? Obviously, my answer is to re-educate yourself like a rich person, not a poor or middle-class person. In other words, to think and look at the world from the B or I quadrant. However, the solution is not as simple as going back to school and taking a few courses. To be successful in the B or I quadrant requires financial intelligence, systems intelligence, and emotional intelligence. These things cannot be learned in school. The reason these intelligences are hard to learn is because most adults are wired to the hard work and spend mode of life. They feel financial anxiety, so they hurry off to work and work hard. They come home and hear about the stock market going up and down. The anxiety grows, so they go shopping for a new house or car, or they go and play golf to avoid the anxiety. The problem is that the anxiety returns on Monday morning. People often ask me how to get started thinking like a rich person. I always recommend starting small and seeking education. If people are serious about learning and retraining themselves to think like a rich person, I recommend my patented board game, Cash Flow. I created the game to help people improve their financial intelligence. It gives people the mental, physical, and emotional training required to allow them to make the gradual change from thinking like a poor or middle-class person to thinking like a rich person. Cash flow, not money, relieves anxiety. Financial struggle and poverty are really financial anxiety problems. They are mental and emotional loops that keep people stuck in what I call the rat race. Unless the mental and emotional hooks are broken, the pattern remains intact. I worked with a banker a few months ago on breaking his pattern of financial struggle. I'm not a therapist, but I have had experience in breaking my own financial habits instilled by my family. The banker makes more than $120,000 a year, but is always in some sort of financial trouble. He has a beautiful family, 3 cars, a big house, a vacation home, and he looks the part of a prosperous banker. When I looked at his financial statement, however, I found he had a financial cancer that would be terminal in a few years if he did not change his ways. The first time he and his wife played Cash Flow, he struggled and fidgeted almost uncontrollably. His mind was wandering, and he could not seem to grasp the game. After 4 hours of play, he was stuck. Everyone else had completed the game, but he was still in the rat race. So I asked him as we put the game away what was going on. His only answer was that the game was too hard, too slow, and too boring. I then reminded him of what I had told him before the game started, that all games are reflections of the people playing. In other words, a game is like a mirror that allows you to look at yourself. That statement angered him, so I backed off, and I asked if he was still committed to getting his financial life in order. He said he was still committed, so I invited him and his wife, who loved the game, to come and play again with an investment group I was coaching. A week later, he showed up, reluctantly. This time, a few lights began to go on inside his head. He still did not finish the game after 4 hours, but he was beginning to learn. As he left this time, he invited himself back. By the third meeting, he was a new man. He was now in control of the game, his accounting, and his investments. His confidence soared, and this time he successfully exited the rat race and was on the fast track. This time, as he left, he purchased a game and said, "I'm going to teach my kids." By the fourth meeting, he told me his own personal expenses were down, he had changed his spending habits and cut up several credit cards, and he was now taking an active interest in learning to invest and build his asset column. His thinking was now on track to make him an information age thinker. By the fifth meeting, he purchased Cashflow 202, which is the advanced game for people who have mastered the original Cashflow 101. He was now reading and eager to play the fast and risky game that true B's and I's play. The best news is that he had taken control of his financial future. He had re-educated himself not only mentally, but also, more importantly, emotionally, via the power of the repetitive learning process that comes from a game. The seven steps to finding your financial fast track. In step one, you need to mind your own business. Gather together your financial data, including your income, your expenses, your assets, and your liabilities. Get organized using a computer spreadsheet or just a simple piece of paper. By looking at your financial data, you can easily begin to see how you've been programmed from an early age to mind everyone else's business and ignore your own. Remember, your liabilities are your banker's business, while your assets are yours. In order to get where you want to go, you need to know where you are. This is the first step to take control of your life and spend more time minding your own business. Next, set financial goals. Set a long-term financial goal for where you want to be in 5 years, and a smaller, short-term financial goal for where you want to be in 12 months. The smaller goal is a stepping stone along the way to your 5-year goal. Be sure your goals are realistic and attainable. For instance, try to cut your debt by a specific amount while increasing your cash flow from assets or passive income. When you establish your 5-year financial goals, do the same thing but take the long view. Now that you know where you are financially today and have set your goals, you need to get control of your cash flow so that you can achieve your goals. Step 2. Take control of your cash flow. After deciding to mind your own business, the next step as the CEO of the business of your life is to take control of your cash flow. The primary reason most people have money problems is that they were never schooled in the science of cash flow management. People work very hard, thinking that more money will solve their financial problems. But as my rich dad often said, more money will not solve the problem if cash flow management is the problem. When you review your financial statements, determine which quadrant of the cash flow quadrant you receive your income from today. Then, determine which quadrant you want to receive the bulk of your income from in 5 years. At this point, you can begin establishing your cash flow management plan. Here are some rules. Pay yourself first. Put aside a set percentage from each paycheck or each payment you receive from other sources. Deposit that money into an investment savings account. Once your money goes into the account, never take it out until you are ready to invest it. Also, focus on reducing your personal debt. If you have credit cards with outstanding balances, cut up all your credit cards except for one or two. Any new charges you add to the one or two cards you now have must be paid off every month. Do not incur any further long-term debt. Then come up with $150 to $200 extra per month. Now that you're becoming more and more financially literate, this should be relatively easy to do. If you cannot generate an additional $150 to $200 per month, then your chances for financial freedom may only be a pipe dream. You will now pay the minimum plus the $150 to $200 on that one credit card. Pay only the minimum amount due on all other credit cards. Once the first card is paid off, then apply the total amount you are paying each month on that card to your next credit card. You are now paying the minimum amount due on the second card plus the total monthly payment you are paying on your first credit card. Continue this process with all your credit cards and other consumer credit, such as store charges, etc. With each debt you pay off, apply the full amount you are paying on that debt to the minimum payment of your next debt. As you pay off each debt, the monthly amount you are now paying on the next debt will escalate. Once all your credit cards and other consumer debt is paid off, continue the procedure with your car and house payments. If you follow this procedure, you will be amazed at the shortened amount of time it takes for you to be completely debt-free. Most people can be debt-free within 5 to 7 years. Now that you are completely debt-free, take the monthly amount you are paying on your last debt and put that money towards investments. Build your asset column. That's how simple it is. Step 3. Know the difference between risk and risky. I often hear people saying investing is risky. I disagree. Instead, I say being uneducated is risky. To my rich dad, to spend your life working hard for money only to have it go out as fast as it comes in is not a sign of high intelligence. Due to the lack of financial intelligence, many educated people will put themselves into positions of high financial risk. My rich dad called it financial red line, meaning income and expenses are nearly the same every month. These are the people who cling desperately to job security, are unable to change when the economy changes, and often destroy their health with stress and worry. And these are often the same people who say business and investing is risky. In my opinion, business and investing is not risky. Being undereducated is. Similarly, being misinformed is risky, and relying on a safe, secure job is the highest risk anyone can take. Buying an asset is not risky. Buying liabilities you have been told are assets is risky. Minding your own business is not risky. Minding everyone else's business and paying them first is risky. Step 4. Decide what kind of investor you want to be. Most people struggle financially because they avoid financial problems. One of the biggest secrets my rich dad taught me was that if you want to acquire great wealth quickly, take on great financial problems. In addition to the 7 levels of investors, I would like to add one more distinction that defines the 3 different types of investors. There are type A, or investors who seek problems. Then there are type B, or investors who seek answers. Finally, there are type C, or what I call Sergeant Schultz investors. I know nothing. Let me address these types of investors in reverse order. Type C investors. The name Sergeant Schultz comes from the lovable character in the TV series Hogan's Heroes. When he knows something is wrong, all Schultz says is, "I know nothing." Most people, when it comes to investing, take the same attitude. Can Sergeant Schultz investors still achieve great wealth? The answer is yes. They can get a job with the federal government, marry someone rich, or win the lottery. Type B investors often ask such questions as, "What do you recommend I invest in? Do you think I should buy real estate? What mutual funds are good for me?" Type B investors should immediately interview several financial planners, choose one, and start taking their advice. Financial planners, if they're good, provide excellent technical knowledge and can often help you establish a financial game plan for your life. Type A investors look for problems. In particular, they look for problems caused by those who get into financial trouble. Investors who are good at solving problems expect to make returns of 25% to infinity on their money. They are typically level 5 and level 6 investors who have strong financial foundations. Can you be all 3 types of investors? In reality, I operate as all 3 types of investors. I am a Sergeant Schultz or a Type C investor when it comes to mutual funds or picking stocks. I do have a few mutual funds, but I really do not spend much time studying them. I can achieve better results with my apartment houses than with mutual funds. As a Type B investor, I seek professional answers to my financial problems. I seek answers from financial planners, stockbrokers, bankers, and real estate brokers. They are closer to the market and are, I trust, more up to date with changes in the laws and the markets. The advice of my financial planner is priceless simply because she knows trusts, wills, and insurance far better than I ever will. Everyone should have a plan. There is much more to investing than simply buying and selling. Years ago, my rich dad encouraged me to develop my skills as a business owner and investor. He also said, "Then practice solving problems." For years, that is all I have done. I know that inside of every problem lies an opportunity, and opportunities are what real investors are after. Step 5. Seek mentors. Mentors tell us what is important. Find somebody who's been there, and choose your mentors wisely. My highly educated but poor dad thought that a job with a high salary was important, and that buying the house of your dreams was important. He also believed in paying bills first and living below your means. My rich dad taught me to focus on passive income and spend time acquiring the assets that provided passive or long-term residual income. Both dads served as strong mentors for me as I grew up. The fact that I chose to follow the financial advice of my rich dad did not lessen the impact that my educated but poor dad had on me as well. I would not be who I am today without the strong influence of both these men. Step 6. Make disappointment your strength. Be prepared to be disappointed. Rich Dad often said, "Only fools expect everything to go the way they want." Expecting to be disappointed is a way of mentally and emotionally preparing yourself to be ready for surprises that you may not want. By being emotionally prepared, you can act with calm and dignity when things do not go your way. If you're calm, you can think better. Try new things and expect disappointment, but always have a mentor standing by to coach you through the experience. and be kind to yourself. We all make mistakes. We all feel upset and disappointed when things do not go our way. Yet the difference lies in how we internally process that disappointment. Tell the truth. The future belongs to those who can change with the times and use personal disappointments as building blocks for the future. The key to this step is to take action. Reading, watching, and listening are all crucial to your education, but you must also start doing. Step 7. The power of faith. Even though you may not be good at everything, take time developing what you need to learn and your world will change rapidly. Never run from what you know you need to learn. Face your fears and doubts, and new worlds will open to you. Using these 7 steps, my wife and I were able to move from being homeless to being financially free in a few short years. I trust they can assist you in charting your own course to financial freedom. To do that, you need to be true to yourself. If you are not yet a long-term investor, get yourself there as fast as you can. Sit down and take control of your spending habits. Minimize your debt and liabilities. Live within your means, and then increase your means. The reason I've introduced you to the Cash Flow Quadrant is to offer you different glimpses into who you are, what your interests may be, and who you ultimately may become. Anyone can find his or her own unique path to the financial fast track, regardless of which quadrant they operate from. Yet it is up to you to find your own path. Remember, your boss's job is to give you a job. It's your job to make yourself rich. In the end, you must mind your own business. Once you make that commitment, life really does get easier and easier. Minding your business is not hard to do. It's just common sense. Believe in yourself and start today on your path to financial freedom. This has been a Time Warner Audiobooks production of Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant, written by Robert T. Kiyosaki with Sharon L. Lecter, CPA, and read by Jim Ward. Executive producer, Maya Thomas. Produced and directed by Arthur G. Insana. Text abridged by Harriet Greenberg and edited by William Whittington. Production coordinated by Dennis Kao. Engineered, edited, and mixed by John Kavarik. Rich Dad's Cash Flow Quadrant is also available in paperback from Warner Business Books.